Well, what kind of propulsion system, because you've worked on them, do you think they would be using to get here and to get back home, or maybe to a mothership?
Yeah, I think we have two different problems here. Think of an aircraft carrier. When we were bombing Vietnam, you know, we had carriers staged off the coast. And they would carry about 75 little airplanes that would go out, bomb, come back, refuel, go out again, come back. They'd fly a lot of sorties, as they called it. Well, considering the difference in environment between the space between the stars, which is a lot of nothing, pretty close to nothing anyway, and to be in the vicinity of the Earth in the atmosphere, where you've got air pressure, which leads to heating when you're going fast, mm-hmm. when you've got high gravitational field, all the problems of an atmosphere and weather, I expect, based on the wonderful reports that we have of huge motherships, space carriers, if that sounds better to some people. You know, think of that case in the Yukon where it was triangulated by a civil engineer, Martin Jasek. It was between 0.6 and 1.2 miles long. That's big. Anyway, so we have two separate problems. I think within the atmosphere, probably something close to magneto-aerodynamics. Now, one of Friedman's many laws is that technological progress comes from doing things differently. Obviously, the notion of carrying along something you throw away to provide propulsion isn't very efficient. You know, when you think about it, that's what airplanes do.
Well, that's true. And cars and everything else.
Yeah, you use the fuel to lift the fuel to lift the fuel, et cetera. That's not too sharp. So if you can ionize the air to make it an electrically conducting fluid and have electric and magnetic fields, then you can control lift, drag, heating, sonic boom production, radar profile. These are all boundary layers. You know, that's what happens where the object meets the atmosphere that affects everything.
How about wormholes also as a traveling mechanism?
Well, wormholes might be useful for the long distance part. I mean, the thing is that, you know, going the speed of light in the atmosphere doesn't make any sense. It takes a seventh of a second to move around the planet all the way. How do you meet somebody for lunch at that speed, George?
That's true. Well, you don't have to worry about picking up the check either, Stan.
Well, that's true. That's true. So between the stars, on the other hand, is an entirely different proposition because the distances are much greater. You know, it's like I don't get out of my house and onto a 747 in the backyard. I drive to the airport, I take a small plane to a bigger airport, and then I get on a 747. Well, the big motherships, I think, the easiest suggestion to make, even though I think they work by techniques about which we know nothing because we are ignorant, we're not advanced, we haven't been around very long. The obvious thing is one I worked on more than 40 years ago, nuclear fusion. Now, fusion is something we know a lot about. It's what gives us the energy from the sun. That's how all the stars operate. So every advanced civilization is going to know about fusion. We figured out how it worked back in 1937, I think it was.
How come we've never used it?
Well, we do use it. H-bombs use it very nicely.
I mean in practical sense, not
okay.
To destroy.
To produce electricity, you got to be economically competitive. We know how to do that already with coal and oil and nuclear power plants. The first, to make show that the system works, you'd need to build a big one, costing a few billion dollars. Nobody wants to invest that kind of money unless they're sure it'll work for 20 years, you know, 25, 30, whatever. And also, too many physicists and not enough engineers. We like doing physics experiments, and there is a small amount of work going on in nuclear fusion. And, you know, back in 1975, well, give us 15, 20 years, and we'll have the problem solved. Forward 10 years, give us 15 or 20 years, and we'll have the problem solved. What are we saying now? Give us 15 or 20 years, and we'll have the problem solved. We haven't put a lot of resources in it, and we need the engineering more than we need the physics. But nuclear fusion for propulsion in deep space, where nature gives you a nice big vacuum chamber, the systems we were looking at in a big study we did for the government were deuterium, that's heavy hydrogen, and helium-3, sort of light helium. Now, these are the two most abundant isotopes in the world, hydrogen and helium. and the two lightest, which makes it very convenient. But the nice thing is, if you react those two, you get charged particles. And they have the beauty of being able to be guided by electric and magnetic fields, whereas neutrons, which we were looking at for the earthbound systems, go out in all directions, and they're a pain in the butt. You've got to absorb them, they produce heat, and then, you know, you've lost all the advantage. So we looked at nuclear fusion, and it appears that if you use the right stuff in the right way and kick particles out the back end that only have 10 million times more energy per particle than they can get in a dumb old chemical rocket. 10 million times. That's something we know about. And incidentally, we have small controlled fusion devices, little accelerators that we put down oil well boreholes to find out how much hydrogen is around, which shows you how much oil and gas and stuff like that is around. You can buy these. I mean, they're not cheap, but and you can't use them in your backyard.
Right.
But, I mean, there are limits on the stuff that you use. But
it'd be nice, though, if every home had its own system where you were self-contained and what the electricity you didn't use, you just sent it on down the grid.
Well, yeah, and but that's one of the problems with the free energy, with solar and windmills, is that we don't have a way to store energy. In other words, in the middle of the night, what are you going to do with it? That's the nice thing about nuclear power plants. You base load them, you run them 24/7 and run them for a year. That's been done, incidentally, longer than a year, actually. But and that way you don't need to worry about storage, and you turn on and off the coal fire and the oil fire and the natural gas fire and stuff. So fusion is one technique. Then you get into all these other things, you know, string theory and warping.
Wormholes, yeah.
Yeah, wormholes and white holes and black holes and all this stuff. Now, an important point to make here is that I'm not saying that when a craft lands on our planet that it just came from home. You know, the mothership may be stationed out in the asteroid belt. There may be a base on the backside of the moon.
Sure. You're all possible.
Yeah. When I go anyplace from Fredericton, we have direct service to, Halifax, Montreal, and Toronto, and Boston, four cities. So when I went to that Whole Life Expo, I had to take three planes to get there.